Hey, welcome back, Central Texas. This is Tom McDew with Father John Gazzaldo in What Would Father Say? Appreciate y'all tuning in on this lovely Friday afternoon. Thanks, Father, for joining us again.
Thank you, Tom. I enjoy these things. I love to talk, you know, because I love to hear myself talk. And maybe it's a little narcissistic, but...
That's okay. A lot of other people like to hear you talk too. So that's what really matters at the end of the day.
I think they like self-punishment. I think they may be doing penance.
It is Lent still.
Yeah,
so,
I'm here to dole out some penance.
There you go.
Know?
All right, we are still diving into our catechism and specifically on our Ten Commandments. And we're kind of at the halfway point here with the fifth commandment. And for those of you that are following along with your in your catechism, we're on page 544, roughly the start of paragraph 2258. And as I have said before, and I will continue to say, if you don't have a catechism in your household, you call me and I will get you a catechism. I will make sure that you have a catechism because this book should be read as much as your Bible. And with that, I'm going to get off of my soapbox. Mm. So, Father.
Yeah, without the catechism, the church and tradition to guide us, yeah. All we got to do is leads to chaos.
Chaos leads to Protestantism.
Oh, you said it, not me.
I said that.
You did. You said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut right now.
All right. So, the fifth commandment, simply cut and dry. Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, we can stay there if you want, because even most Jewish rabbis say that is not a good translation.
Really?
They would say it should say, thou shalt not murder.
Okay.
That killing, we kill things all the time.
Why the distinction?
Yeah, because killing can be, in English anyway, just means to take something's life or someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
But murder is to take life of the innocent. Murder is, to take life of the innocent. Because like in war, in hunting, mm-hmm. We do these sort of things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The cockroach that was, in my house, we kill things all the time. And in legitimate defense, as we'll get to later, sometimes a lethal blow is justified.
Mm-hmm.
We kill things, but murder, we never murder. You never intentionally take the life of an innocent human being, that is always wrong.
Yeah.
It is always wrong. So, yeah. So I think it's worth saying. It's easier to say to kill, but murder, there is a distinction.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you mentioned, war and
legitimate defense.
The just war theory. St. Augustine's just war theory is fascinating for me, and it has long been something that I have studied. But that's probably a subject for another day, because we could spend hours just talking about that.
Yeah, because to say there shouldn't be war, I mean, if you read the Old Testament and the Israelites, they were always engaging in war, and sometimes God would send angels, were wiping the enemies out. So does that mean, they had this, thou shalt not kill. They had this, so we always take the scriptures and the tradition, and we try to make them harmonize.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have a church. That's why we have brains. That's why we have tradition. Because then we can go off in la la land.
It's interesting that distinction though is important. Kill versus murder.
Yeah,
that's an important distinction. So anyway,
where shall we start? Oh my goodness! I guess we already have.
Yeah, 2258. I mean, let's just start right there. Why? Because human life is sacred.
It is. Everybody's made in the image and likeness of God from the moment of conception until natural death, and to reverence life,
mm-hmm.
And to know that is the most special thing, and we do not put life in danger. Sometimes this is where the rubber hits the road. I always tell people, I do not swerve for squirrels. I do not, especially if there's people in the car. I do not swerve for dogs or cats, because are you kidding? If I have people in a car, I'm a terrible driver. But if there's a person, you have to mitigate as much as you can, because even if they, remember that lives human lives are the most precious. Because if they are not, if we're just functioning mammals, you just opened up the gate and it doesn't stop.
Clumps of cells.
We all turn into bigger clumps of cells. Yeah.
So we get into this aspect of human life being sacred, and from conception to natural death, and there's a lot of different aspects of that. You know, and I think the catechism really lays out for us all the different aspects that get to that. And one of the first things that we tackle here is this legitimate defense, and we started talking about that a little bit with the whole just war thing. And I think that's the act of self-defense can have a double effect: the preservation of one's own life and the killing of the aggressor. The one is intended.
The other is not.
And it's from paragraph 2263. And I think that that's from Aquinas. A very, very key distinction. It kind of gets back to what you were saying about murder.
Yeah, we're asked. We have to not only not take innocent life, we must defend innocent life. And sometimes that takes a lethal blow. That it does not justify walking to the abortion clinic and start shooting the doctors or the nurses. But we should put our, you know, we should absolutely defend them as much as we can without causing more harm. And that is hard to figure out. I remember my parents were part of that, you know, project. What was it called? Where they would lie in front of abortion clinics.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Project Rescue.
Rescue.
Yeah, Project Rescue. God bless them. But it is legitimate to use lethal force. But if you don't mind.
Yeah, let me ask you a question you're going to jump back here. Go ahead. You jump back and we'll
Well, come. I think remember that Jesus knew thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. But I tell you, and he raises it, and he puts what I would call hedges around it. You know what a hedge around it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, the people of God knew thou shalt not, you know, use the Lord's name in vain. Mm-hmm. So they put hedges around that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even say the name. We never say the name. We don't do things.
We don't write
But Jesus says, he adds anger, hatred, and vengeance. Those are like putting more, increased buffers around thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not kill. Then not to get into that because, well, that's what leads to it.
Right.
These are still, there's such a thing as righteous anger, but it shouldn't what we do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we give in to hatred and to vengeance, these are all temptations that kill us. But it is our chance to exercise those spiritual muscles.
Yeah.
But then the question comes out, what if I'm being attacked or a loved one is being attacked by an assailant? You know, I know people say, well, if you have a gun, shoot him in the hand, shoot him in the leg. No, what do people, gun enthusiasts say? Center mass. You've got to stop them. It's not just killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping them. That's what's the most important thing, which could be lethal.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be lethal. And then we do that out of justice. Mm-hmm. And love for the innocent who need us to defend them. It is as he says here, 2265, legitimate death can only be right, but a grave duty for one who's responsible for the lives of others. So a father whose children are being attacked, he has a duty not just to shoot him in the foot or shoot a
warning shot.
No. Center mass, because the innocent is being attacked by the guilty.
Yeah.
And for those who hold, if you keep reading,
yeah,
for those who hold legitimate authority, also have the right to use arms to repel aggressors against the civil community entrusted to their responsibility. We take that stuff seriously, because there are people who take advantage. I mean, I saw this on TV this morning, we had to take these lessons on how not to get hacked. And he goes, remember, a thief going into a neighborhood, will he break into the house with people out front, alarms and cameras, or the house with the door wide open? I mean, they take advantage of the weak.
That's right.
It's like a lion who attacks a group of caribou. Who's he attack? The weakest among them. Because he's a coward.
Right.
But we say, Jesus said, I identify with the weakest. Whatever you do for the least among you, he wants us to identify with the least among us. Well, that's huge. Now we're asked to speak up for those who cannot speak and who are the weakest and most vulnerable among us, and to fight for them. We don't kill for them when it comes to things like, hopefully not abortion, but to put our bodies there and say, hey, this is not okay. We can do a better job of that, obviously.
And then we get into the whole aspect of, and the catechism then goes into this, the aspect of the state's responsibility and the death penalty.
Here we go.
Which, we talked before, it's a tricky
subject. The subject, so let's go ahead and we might as well dive in.
Peel
the subject,
in here.
The subject of the death penalty is the nuanced one. You know, it's going to talk about abortion, infanticide, fratricide, all those other things that the church says, no. But historically, the church has recognized, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, that the state has had the right to enforce or punish people with the death penalty, hang them. I mean, you can go on TV and watch, they have them on YouTube videos, the people who connived to kill President Lincoln, they were all hanged. They were all hanged. Everybody thought this, that was considered the justice of the time. But recent popes to be consistent have said that maybe especially in first world countries, that we should work towards getting rid of it. Getting rid of it. It brings up all other kinds of questions. And you can bring up all, what if you have a multi-murderer? Okay, understood. But I think all kinds of arguments can be made around, I've been to Ecuador and Guatemala. I have been to Honduras. Their jails, are they capable? I don't know. It's a good question. In first world countries, can we keep the most dangerous apart? I think we have. I think in some ways, and I'm gonna say this is Father John talking now.
Okay.
I don't think we have an overpopulation problem in the jails. I think we have an underpopulation problem.
I think we've given them too much space.
I think we can look sometimes at other countries that are doing this better. However, if you really want to not give in to vengeance, Pope Benedict even said it. Those who we should be able to keep the rest of the world safe from them. The question is now, in my mind, what is more humane, the death penalty or lifelong solitary confinement? I emotionally struggle with that, intellectually struggle with that. Okay, so I'm not going to mention any names, but I've been to the restricted units on the men's ward and the women's. Now, the men's ward in the jails, the restricted units, everybody's in isolation. They get 1 hour to walk around in the yard a day. Otherwise, they're in their cells for 23 hours a day. Now, they might deserve it. Okay, that sounds like a living hell to me.
Yeah.
However, there are some prisons that the guards have told me that some of those in SEG, they call it SEG, get out for 1 or 2 hours a week. That means they're in solitary confinement for days at a time. And part of me feels bad for them. Part of me feels justice, because these people have committed terrible crimes, not only on the outside, but on the inside. Crimes take place on the inside like you wouldn't believe. But the part of you, I could see both. I feel bad for you. And some of them would say, if you're going to keep me in solitary confinement for the rest of my life, just go ahead and take my life.
Yeah.
Huh. Is that mercy?
Sitting in a room for 60-something years.
Gray
without contact.
Walls.
Yeah.
A metal bed.
Nothing.
And all they have is a little bit more than...
A 18-inch by 18-inch, maybe.
All they see is the sky. They never see the sun. It does bring up a more... How does society deal with those who have no conscience? Who have no empathy, no sympathy. Who love watching people suffer? what do we do with them? Mm-hmm. In the past, before there were jails, and you know, in the ancient world, they would either kill you or put you under house arrest. They didn't have prisons. They had maybe holding cells or something.
Right.
But they put you under house arrest or they'd hang you. Now, we could talk about this all day. Yeah. I think when it comes to demonic possession, SEG is full of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People who have made deals with the devil and the deals with the evil one. And were asked to minister. And not having the death penalty with those kind of people gives us a chance to save their souls. Now, we can do a better job of that. I will be confessed to you right now. I've been in SEG, and I've gone from Deacon Lustavica, and I've been from cell to cell. And I tell you right now, after each meeting with each prisoner, praying with them, I remember all I wanted Deacon to say was, okay, we're finished, let's go.
Yeah.
Every time he said, we got a few more to visit.
One more go.
Okay. Because all that was there
exhausting.
Was gray, yelling at us.
Yeah.
Terrible things. Hey, priest, come up here. Throwing things. They're able to throw like letters and hooks outside. And there is junk, food, and fecal matter.
Oh, gosh.
It's disgusting in there. And you feel bad for the... You feel bad for... This is where the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
You feel bad for the guards who they can't keep.
No.
They just have an over... Constantly rolling over. And I could see how someone could walk in there and say, hey, why don't we just shoot them?
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Emotionally, I get it. Emotionally, I get it. We're asked not to do that because we are Christians. To develop better programs are not arguments. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But we develop better systems... Who is the most hardened? Can you, you know, Jesse Ramirez talks about this, visiting guys in SEG.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a quick test with some of them.
Okay.
Can you say Jesus Christ is Lord? Just say it. And they can't say it. Why can't they say it? Even if you offer them potato chips or like a Coke or something from the
commissary,
the commissary was, hey, just say, can you say Jesus Christ is Lord? And so what you're dealing with is something other.
Yeah.
This guy's soul is in danger. He is in danger, and he has done terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible things. And, you know, going toe-to-toe with the evil one.
I think the danger that we run into sometimes as Catholics with the death penalty, and I think especially for those of us that grew up in the state of Texas, as much as I love the Republic, where... The death penalty has been kind of part of our culture for at least as long as I've been alive. But I think the danger that we run into is the argument that the left makes for abortion with anecdotal evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about this one particular person?
Yeah.
And I think the danger we run into is letting
the
anecdotal evidence and the anecdotal instances, those one-offs, if you will, determine how we react to and manage an entire population.
Yeah. So, whenever someone brings up abortion, we have to say this too. Like you just said, we have to look at numbers too.
Mm-hmm.
You just said, being in Texas, it's been part of our culture. Okay. So, having said that, has it been the same? In other words, you know how many people we. How many people average we put to death in Texas every year?
Probably it's
12.
I was going to say maybe 10.
15.
Yeah, yeah.
12, 15.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to 3,500 a day in abortion clinics.
Yeah.
To even slow, even to equate them. Can you imagine a dam with a 12-foot hole in it is broken and we have a leaky pipe over here? Are we going to get
almost intellectually dishonest?
You want to put the same energy towards both.
Yeah.
This is a gusher of 100% innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a drip of the most worst criminals.
Mm-hmm.
We have to recognize that we can't put the energy towards both.
Because
that would be an injustice.
Exactly.
It'd be an injustice. So we can't even, I don't think they're even on, they're on the same chapter here.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to admit, there's no easy answers. Both ends, extremes, just shoot them, doesn't work.
No.
Or let's give them a, you know, let's give them a suite. Make sure you get 3 meals a day. Make sure they're comfortable. What? Comfortable? You know, how would you like it if, you know, I would say to someone, do you kill people because they've killed people? Hey, when someone kidnaps someone, we kidnap them. I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
When someone's charged with kidnapping, we put them in jail. I mean, that's justice.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. When, so let's just, the death penalty is hard to tackle. It is nuanced. There's no hard and fast just answer here, because
the church has never. We've come close, I guess.
To
maybe,
say it's intrinsically disordered, intrinsically immoral. No.
Yeah.
He says at this point it should be impermissible.
Yeah.
Which is miles away from
where are you?
This is homicide of an innocent child that isn't not even in the same zip code. Anybody says that, I think, be intellectually dishonest.
Because
We know that the waterfall of abortions,
yeah,
as opposed to the drip of the death penalty, we have to go ahead and acknowledge that. And
it was interesting, though, that just a few weeks ago, I'm trying to remember where this was. There was an inmate who was actually stood in front of a firing squad.
Yeah, I think he asked for it.
Yeah.
Some of those you can request.
Oklahoma, or it doesn't matter where.
They give you a choice sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought that was interesting that there was a tremendous amount of outrage from all different dynamic, in all different perspectives.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Mifepristone or whatever the abortion drugs are being pushed through the U.S. mail.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Anyway.
In Oklahoma, some states you can ask for for an electric chair, which is absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely awful.
The United States Army still does public hangings. It's still on the books. They haven't done one in a long time, but.
But I would say this as a concession. When someone says, you know, I always say to people, hey, I tell you what, when it comes to the death penalty, I will stand with you against it if you stand with me against abortion. How's that for a deal?
How many takers you get on that?
Not many. I said, I would join your side
because
I will. Okay, fine. I will, because emotionally, intellectually, I'm like, well, this is dicey.
You can make the distinction.
But we can't err on the side of mercy. How about, I tell you what, I'll stand with you and be anti-death penalty if you will stand with me and help me protect innocent children. How about that? So then it shows the duplicity sometimes. So some of these conversations are not honest. They're not honest. And so because I know what it's like to go in those prisons and say, and emotionally have that temptation to say, why don't we just shoot them?
Mm.
So can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah, yeah. We got a couple minutes. Sure. Go ahead.
I know we haven't even we might have spent five sessions on this.
We'll get there.
So I used to go to, in Houston, every Monday I would go to a detention center.
Uh-huh.
But it was just for teenage boys. So and I met 100 teenage. I would meet with them one on one. I would say, can you bring me the chaplain there, Deacon Dan? He would give me some names. Hey, maybe you see this boy. And every boy that I met, with a few exceptions, would always say, what are you doing? I just love Jesus. What are you going to do when you get out of here? I'm going to be a pastor. One of the days, I'm going to be a pastor.
Mm.
And, you know, they're all, and sometimes they're manipulating you.
Sure.
Because they want you to testify on their behalf. But anyway, I remember one guy, he totally snowed me. He goes, man, in here I've changed. I've fallen in love with the Lord. I accepted him, my personal Lord and Savior. I want to talk, you know, tell the world about Jesus. I said, that's fantastic, you know. And so, we met for an hour. And man, he had completely snowed me. So the guard came and got him. And so the guard said, hey, take him back to himself. You know what he did? As the guard took him back to himself, I saw this happen. He pushed the guard into the cell, closed the door behind him, and laughed at him. I was just, and he's laughing, and he started cussing him out.
Yeah.
He locked the guard in his cell, and I said, I thought you told me.
And you were inches from believing everything
said. Oh, I was totally snowed. What do you mean inches? No, inches. This guy changed. He's going to be a pastor. You're going to get out of here and start your own church, you know, work in the streets. He pushed. I saw him do it, and the part that really made me so angry. It was not that he even pushed him and closed the door. He was mocking him and laughing at him. No compassion, no sense of justice. And at that point, I thought to myself, oh, man, this guy just wants to watch people burn. Yeah. He has no – and so it's really easy to give into the, quote-unquote, just shoot him, because I've experienced that myself. Anyway, that's a side story.
Yeah.
But by the same token, when we come to abortion, you know, you could see with a young teenage girl who's in a crisis pregnancy, man, I just want to get rid of the problem.
Yeah.
You understand emotionally that. I hear you. I hear you. And that's when you surround them and say, we are here for you. And one of the times I've really felt useful by God is when a young teenage girl was at another church came and she was afraid that she was pregnant. And I remember saying, you know what? You're going to be okay. If you are, that's fine. We will handle it. We will be here for you and you'll be fine. Oh. To just say it like that.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Your parents, you would be a good mom.
Yeah.
And we're all here to help.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. And to take that panic.
Take the burden off of her.
Take that panic of her. Her whole life is over.
Yeah.
Her whole life is over. And if she gets an abortion, she's going to go to hell. Listen, we are here for you. You have a choice. You're going to be fine. People love you and will love this child. I felt so useful.
Yeah. Yeah. We got about a minute left here.
Oh my goodness, we haven't.
I know we have barely got to the first layer of this.
We've got legitimate defense, vengeance, and we could talk about abortion.
We'll have to save the rest of this. Some of the rest of this, maybe, for the next week. This may be one that takes us for a couple of weeks.
Heavy stuff, heavy.
Folks, I appreciate y'all tuning in today. And if you missed part of what Father would say or does say, has said about the Fifth Commandment here, or at least the first part of the Fifth Commandment, or any of it, we invite you to tune in on Sunday afternoons at 12:30 for the encore presentation of What Would Father Say? So, Father, we got about 30 seconds here. Would you leave us with a quick blessing, please?
May Father send your blessing upon you and all our heroes, all our listeners. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, folks. We'll see y'all next week. And remember, put on the armor of God.